I am Charlie Bennett, and this is the North Avenue Lounge.
Women can propose to men.
This is the North Avenue Lounge, and Amanda does not watch the on-air light.
Women can propose to men. That's always been true, actually.
It's unheard of.
This is the North Avenue Lounge, and because it is a fifth Monday, it is a host-a-palooza when all four hosts of the North Avenue Lounge gather together with no guests.
The hosts are the guests.
We do have a net, which is our outline, but we already have made it clear that we don't really... Amanda.
What?
Are you double fisting?
Well, the mic I had isn't actually on, so then I realized I should probably use two mics.
So are you, which?
I was on this
one. I'm putting you on two.
I like this one.
You are on two. Talk to the audience real quick.
Oh my gosh, it's total chaos in here.
This is why I don't present for ATL.
You know what? The curse of the AB button has gotten us. That's why mic two wasn't on. Try it one more time for me.
Hi, this is Amanda. I am also a host on this show. Thanks for giving me a mic.
Yes, you're very welcome. And who are you? Like, what do you do? What's the point of you, Amanda?
That's like a really good question. I don't think that's on our
It's
agenda.
Very existential.
It says introductions. So
okay.
I'm introducing.
So I'm Amanda Plum. I live here in Atlanta, where I own a house with three chickens. And
are the chickens on the lease?
No, they came afterwards. They're guests, they're pets. And I work for a nonprofit called Toolbank USA. And in addition to being a host on the North Avenue Lounge, I am a co-organizer of Pachacacha Atlanta. And
which looks like Pechacucha.
Which does.
Often people say that. Also, Amanda's chickens send her flowers every Valentine's Day.
For the past 3 years, they have sent me flowers, which is really sweet.
Wow.
And a really cute note.
Advanced chickens.
Yeah. And you can learn all about them on my next episode where Chris will be interviewing me about chickens.
Yeah.
Chris, you should introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Chris. I'm a comedian and a remote worker. And
wait, that wasn't funny. Why are we laughing? That wasn't funny.
It
I expected more from a comedian.
Listen, remote worker gets people every time.
Hey,
it's a funny term.
Why don't you be funny if you're a comedian?
I don't, man. It's so hard. It's so hard to be funny constantly.
We don't have that problem because women aren't funny. People just know that, so we don't.
I don't agree with that at all.
You got to stay on that mic, man. You're making me crazy.
Oh, am I? Oh, my bad.
You're totally stand-upping.
Oh, okay.
You're backing up so you can yell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I have a loud voice. I just talk very loudly, so I'm always worried when I'm close to the microphone that I'm blowing out all the levels.
Gotcha. I will try and compensate for you. Hey, did you mention your home base when it comes to performing?
Yeah, Dad's Garage Theater.
Cool.
Yeah, that's where you can find me.
You're also the host of Carapace.
That's right. Carapace, each month, the storytelling show. And, yeah, I'm all around, man. I'm always doing something.
Where is Carapace these days since Manny's is
where
in
the
air?
Venkman's over in Old Fourth Ward.
Those guys.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, they've got a really good stage there. It's really fun. But that's where we are until or if Manuel's ever opens again.
It will.
I hope.
Shut your mouth.
Well, it's one of those things when they say 6 months, I assume, okay, it'll be a year or longer.
Do you know there's an Emory project to archive Manuel's, the inside, all the stuff on the walls, called Unpacking Manuel's Tavern?
Yeah, yeah.
They did a Pachacacha presentation, so nice. I do know about them.
Very cool.
Yeah, they're supposed to put everything back. The goal is to put everything back in the newly renovated Manuel's as it was in the old one.
There's a discussion as to whether it'll be a museum or not.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Hey, who's that at the end?
Oh, it's just this little redheaded girl. My hair is red today. We'll see about what it is next week. My name is Shannon M. Turner, and I'm the managing director of a dance company called CORE. We're located here and in Houston. And I also am on the board of Wonderroot, and I'm a storyteller. I appear on the stage of Carapace, where Chris hosts. I do a little blogging, and I'm a new homeowner.
All right. Ooh. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I don't know if I can compete with that. I am Charlie Bennett. I'm a librarian, a radio and podcast producer, and a dad.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
In style.
Times three.
Yeah.
And welcome to Hostapalooza.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon, if you will do the honors, we have to talk about awards.
Yes, we do. In many ways. But we're going to start by talking about the Celebrity Challenge.
And who won it? Who gets the award?
Yes.
Then we'll have to figure out what it is.
So to recap, every year for the last 2 years, we have picked a month to have a theme month. Last year we did Foodie Month. And this year it was my brilliant idea that we would each try to go after the biggest celebrity for an interview. I found Michael Cerveris, who is a Broadway star and also a TV star. He's appeared on Fringe as The Observer. He's been on Tremé, The Good Wife. He was the first Tommy, and right now he's very well known for having premiered as the dad in Fun Home, which he's currently on Broadway with. Then following that episode, we had Amanda with the Indigo Girls, which she very, very graciously invited me in to have a co-hosting gig with. You want to talk about that episode, Amanda?
Well, it was kind of, you know, a dream come true. The little fangirls and Shannon and I came out and got to hang out with Amy Ray and Emily Saliers, aka Indigo Girls. And they are just like the nicest people on the planet. In fact, Shannon had parked the car and wasn't coming back upstairs, and I went downstairs to check on her and see where everybody was, and she pulls up in Emily's car. Apparently, she had given up her parking space to Emily, and Emily, like, drove her back in the car, and they're just really genuine and humble, and it's just amazing to have your favorite musical artists play songs on your request live. You know, so that was amazing. We each picked a song we wanted them to, and they were like great. They're like, "What do you want us to do? Let you guys pick the songs." We did, and it was. I had a great time.
Yeah. What a great get!
Oh yeah, that's it was awesome. Fantastic. Additionally, Amy Ray asked me if I was a natural redhead, and it's kind of like that scene in Ghostbusters when the character asks Ray if he's a god, and then, you know, then when he says no, blast them with all of her might. You
yeah.
know? From now on, the answer to that question is always yes.
Yes.
Yes. Nope. So then following that episode, we had Charlie, who interviewed an author. Charlie?
And I have a little bone to pick with one of Amanda's friends on Facebook who's like, how dare you follow up the Indigo Girls with a writer?
Is it Eric Meadows?
If I ever meet that guy, we're going to have a conversation.
Eric Meadows is one of our most loyal listeners. He's a wedding photographer, and he was a guest on the show.
I hope he's enjoying this shout-out right now.
He's listening because he always edits his wedding photos on Monday and listens to this show. He's also very opinionated on Facebook and has a very snarky personality, which he doesn't reserve for people that he knows, like me. We went to college together, but he will complete strangers that he like sees post on my page.
Right.
He will like
which
make
is me.
Some yes, he'll make some smart aleck comment and does not have a great filter, which I personally enjoy, but I can see how his humor is not for everyone.
My guest was Megan Dom, who is the author of My Misspent Youth, which was a collection of essays that basically summed up the 90s, certainly for me. She's a national columnist, and so I thought she was at least famous enough to be part of the Celebrity Challenge. I'm looking at Twitter followers to kind of rank all of these, and I might have been misguided when it came to putting the Indigo Megan up against the Indigo Girls. But anyway, and then Chris had the last of the four.
Yeah, that's right. I went old school. I went underground. And I interviewed Marche Sparks, the owner of Le Petit Marche here in Atlanta. And she's been getting some heat. She's been written up in Atlanta Magazine, Ebony Magazine. She's been getting some press. So, yeah, if you guys don't know Marche, you got to get to know her. She's awesome. And then the rest of my episode, I played music because my other interview fell through.
Wow. We really thought you were going to, like, because of your
dad's garage.
Dad's garage.
I mean, Badger from Breaking Bad is in town.
I know. Work. Here's like, the thing, though. Here's
other
the
comedians.
Thing. From all through January and February, I've had this, we've been in rehearsals for our new scripted show.
Oh, wait, is this the excuse section?
Oh, no.
I wasn't sure.
So,
are we doing that now?
So the small window of time that I had to interview people, when they couldn't make that. I was like, well, I
really thought Kevin Bacon was going to be your episode.
Oh, I was going to have a doozy for you, but
act with like the cast of Archer. Like,
I know, but you guys have heard them.
You want to hear my excuse, my version of the excuse?
Sure.
I arranged to have an interview with David Byrne, or at least to have the question. I got down to the manager and everything and explained what I wanted to do. And what I was using was, I'm going to do a book proposal about one of his books, one of his albums, and that was going to be this is what I want to interview about, and then I'll broadcast it. Got through all the stuff, and he's like, yeah, send us a proposal. Send it right back. He's like, oh, I didn't realize this was for broadcast.
No.
He's not really doing interviews right now.
Oh, like, oh man.
I should have just taken the background interview.
Yeah.
Wow. I never heard back from Melissa McBride, a.k.a. Carol from Walking Dead.
From her people, mm-hmm. right?
I got someone that said he would deliver an email to her, and I never heard back. Yeah. But, you know, Melissa, if you're listening, I'll still have you on the show.
We've all had famous people on already. Yeah. That's the other thing. It was like the celebrity challenge was almost like, do it again. I mean, Amanda did very well. But you know, for us three, it was like, go ahead and do it again. Get someone else famous. Yeah. I got somebody famous.
Yeah, it's true. And I was going to ask you if you had like crushing disappointment about the closeness of David Byrne and then it not working out, or were you just like, nope, just moving on?
Not crushing, but I was definitely disappointed. I mean, I've been doing this a long time now. I've been doing radio for 6 years and I've asked a lot of people to come on the show. And I think I'm batting 500. And most of the time...
Wait, is that good or bad?
That's it's really good for a batter.
Okay.
But it's only half if you're just a person. It's an F in college.
So you're like 50%?
Exactly right.
But 500 sounds really good, but 50% sounds bad.
That's why they call it 500. Because you can bat 120. That sounds really good, right? If you keep it 100 in batting average, you suck.
Yeah.
For me, because I came very close to getting Amanda Palmer on the show, and she may still come on at some point. It just had to do with maternity leave.
So were you deeply disappointed?
I was, and it had to do with the amount of work that had gone into the conversation at that point. And then there was actually a moment when I thought I was going to get Stevie Wonder on.
Oh,
nice.
And I was like, going to kill it. You know, like I really thought I was going to, that was going to happen, and I was going to totally win.
I think it's a lot like what I've heard writers who send out stories. A lot, you know, mm-hmm. the first couple of rejection slips, you're like, no, this was the one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that was perfect for that. And then eventually you're like, I got another 10 rejection slips and it's okay. I'm just moving on. I got the next thing coming.
So I think we should bestow the prize, and Amanda's already got her arms raised in the air. So can we all agree that Amanda won this round?
Yay, I don't know. I think Marche Sparks, you know,
for local celebrities, maybe. But even, I mean, the Indigo Girls kind of count as a local celebrity, too.
Yeah. So I'd like to thank Amy and Emily for coming in and doing this show. And from StoryCorps, because I originally met Amy when she came in to do StoryCorps. I'd also love to thank God and my parents and all the listeners out there who are listening.
Well done.
I wish I had the Oscars music ready to go, but I don't.
Would be awesome.
I'm sorry.
So we have to decide what her prize is.
Wait. I will say this. You got the most famous stage performer, Shannon. Chris, you got the most famous local Atlanta.
Everybody gets a trophy.
You got the most famous musicians, and I got the most famous writer.
There we go.
Everybody gets a trophy for participation on the North Avenue Lounge.
So maybe we should just take each other all out for drinks.
I feel like this is minimalizing my win. I think you guys should take me out.
Yeah.
Bourbon Thursday. Mm-hmm. And
Bourbon Thursday, I like
agreed.
That.
Agreed. So in the last few seconds we have for
I want to talk about bourbon.
Okay, we have to decide. I mean, we're going to do this idea of a theme month again. So Eric Meadows and the other 12 people that are listening right now, we have to start talking about the next theme month. And we want to hear from you guys what you think our theme should be.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
Yes.
Could be a theme about themes.
You can post on our Facebook page if you wish. You can also mail show-nal@wrek.org. And if you have a suggestion.
And with that, we're going to take a break for station ID.
Mm-mm. It's just a promo.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside.
That's right, friends. It's the show that never ends, The Freakers Ball. Spinning vinyl from 1960 to 79, we play classic, progressive, southern folk, and all other kinds of rock in between. Tune in Tuesdays at noon for The Freakers Ball.
Welcome back to the North Avenue Lounge. Who's up? Who's in charge?
Is this me? Okay.
It's the Chris Rock of the North Avenue
Lounge.
End of Atlanta, frankly.
Yeah. You know what? That's my minor celebrity claim to fame. So let's talk about the Oscars.
That you're black?
Yes. Yeah, that's it, man. That's,
black and
that's
funny.
All I've got going for me. So let's talk about the Oscars,
yes.
Because I didn't watch the Oscars last night, so I want to get caught up. You guys did.
Yeah, Amanda what and happened? I actually every year go to this fabulous Oscars party. We're both like wiping the glitter off of our eyelids that, you know, we're exhausted from having been out late. And, well, Amanda was out a little bit later than me, but we go to this amazing Oscar party where the hostess asks you to get dressed up as if you were going to the Oscars.
Oh, nice.
And she has a contest, speaking of, you know, awards for the best dressed in the Streetwalker or the Starlet category.
I won Streetwalker.
You won Streetwalker. Okay.
I thought Starlet would be a little too competitive. So I went for the one that I thought no one else would participate in. Mm-hmm. But she has like a red carpet and we take photos. And there's also Oscar themed food. Mm-hmm. So Shannon brought.
I brought baked Brie Larson.
Nice. Very nice.
Yes,
okay.
And it was also...
I did not expect that.
Yeah.
She's really into the puns. There was like bear blood, which was a drink for the Revenant. And my baked Brie Larson was also baked into the shape of an 88 for the 88th annual Oscars.
Okay.
I really like there's a pile of sugar cookies, and on the top was one chocolate cookie representing Chris Rock at the Oscars.
Okay. All right. So... since Charlie and I didn't watch the Oscars last night.
Can you say why you didn't?
I was doing a private show over at Dad's Garage, and it was a fundraiser for an organization which somehow was involved raising money against, you know, domestic violence. But it was an older crowd than we usually have at the theater. And, there weren't a lot of laughs in the show. Like, it was one of those, like, we are bombing, guys.
I mean, maybe they went home and discussed how pleasant and entertaining that was.
We hope so. But it was one of those where we've been running the show for 2 weeks now and just getting, it's almost like you could predict where the laughs are. we were getting nothing. So the show actually got done a lot earlier than we usually did. Because
you're not going to become a private dancer.
Nope, not at all. So
would you have watched the Oscars if you hadn't been at that show?
I probably would have watched a little bit of it. My wife goes to an Oscar party with her friends, and I usually just kind of sit and start making snarky comments on Twitter or something with Oscars. But I probably would have watched just the, you know, Chris Rock's opening monologue. And I want to see who won Best Picture, the big ones.
You have to be up at midnight for that.
and I'm too old for that. I go to bed early. Yeah. So who did win?
Spotlight.
Shocking.
Really?
No one saw that coming, I don't think. At least no one that was left in our Oscar pool saw that coming.
Oh, man. So DiCaprio was mauled by a bear for nothing.
Well, no, he got leading actor.
Yeah, he won.
Okay.
After all those years of, you know, dying in film after film after film.
He's like Susan Lucci of the Oscars.
Who won Best Director? Was this one of those split
the
years?
Revenant or the
Revenant
guy.
Year? Yeah, okay, yeah. See, that's the split right there.
Okay.
Yeah. That was the second year in a row because he won for Birdman last year.
But did anyone ever see Spotlight?
I haven't yet.
I haven't seen it.
It is on my
Netflix
queue.
This is the one about the gay priests.
Yeah, the Boston Globe reporters.
Whoa, can we back off that, please? This is about the abuse in the Catholic Church that was uncovered by a Boston Globe investigation that was actually kind of the worst thing ever at the time. Because it was a time when an actual journalistic entity... investigated almost attacking a cultural institution, you know, in Boston. And so it was pretty intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And somebody very astutely pointed out that that film was kind of like The Wire in that they did a great job of pulling forward characters who were very specific, but that represented institutions in a great way.
Yeah, there were definitely some. And I've done a lot of reading about Spotlight because that's basically all I do with movies now is I read about them. And if I think I'm going to see them anytime soon, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to read about that anymore. But
yeah. I used to do that as a kid. There's so many movies that I used to get the book that used to come out for the movie, and I read it.
The novelization before watching
it. The one where like the picture on the front is characters from the movie?
No, it was the book for the movie. Like, for example, Indiana Jones Raiders of the Lost Ark. In my memory, I thought I saw that movie when it came out. In reality,
you
I
read
didn't.
The book.
I read the book, but I didn't see the actual movie until it came out on like HBO.
In
like,
the novelization for Raiders of the Lost Ark, the scene where he pulls a gun and just shoots the sword guy,
yeah,
is the actual scripted scene where it's a big fight.
Yeah,
because they write those novels from the shooting script.
Yeah, so it's yeah. So I in my memory, I was like, oh yeah, I saw that when I was a kid. No, that was when it came out years later on HBO.
I think that was not supposed to happen in the original script.
The shoot, the mm-hmm. gun, yeah. Mm-hmm. They were, the story is that he was feeling very sick and mm-hmm. said, kind of as he walked on set, how about I just shoot the guy?
Yeah. So who else won for best actress?
Brie Larson.
For what? For Spotlight?
No, Room.
Room, the one where she's trapped. And I want to see her son.
Oh, has anybody seen that one?
I'd like to.
There are so many... Okay, so many of the Oscar movies, and in years past, I always try to see all the Oscar-nominated movies. I just don't have the time to see.
I believe the phrase is, ain't nobody got time for
so
that.
You guys are missing the story about the Oscars.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what is the story?
Really?
Tell me the story.
It was all about race. It was all about, that they took that, like, that's all that was talked about for most of it. So, like, you know, there's this controversy that Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah, she boycotted
Oscars.
Pinkett.
And then mm-hmm. Pinkett, okay. And then Spike Lee and Will Smith, everybody's boycotting because there was, like, no black nominees. Mm-hmm. And so then there's this question, like, how is it they're going to deal with it on the show? And, like, you know, are they just going to ignore it, make a couple jokes? It was, like, ongoing throughout. You know, Chris Rock definitely... You know, started at the beginning talking about race. There were spoofs, you know, like
they had the Black History moment, and then it turned out to be about Jack Black.
I swear, every black person in the audience definitely got screen time, like during the opening. They just wanted to show how many black people were there. But you know,
did it work for you all? That's really the thing that I wonder, like, because it's such a blatant butt covering.
Yeah.
You know, they created the show to respond to this thing that happened after the undoubtedly they'd already started writing what the show was going to be like when they announced the nominees. And then all of a sudden they're responding to this thing that was created by the Academy. So did it work for you all?
I feel like they definitely needed to say something. It might have been overkill. I think they need to just put up or shut up. I will be very curious to see, you know, what the Oscars look like next year and not just this tokenism. And what was really hard to watch was how then it became this fight for the imbrication of like, oh, well, actually, let's talk also about climate change and date rape on campus and LGBT issues. And let's just make sure that we kind of like don't ignore everything else that's also important.
Oh, yeah. It was like that Black Lives Matter.
All causes matter.
Yeah, yes, all causes exactly. matter.
But I would say like Leo is the one that brought in the climate change. Like that was his personal thing. Mm-hmm. And I think the date rape one came from Lady Gaga's song, which is from a film that I didn't see, but it was actually a really powerful moment where they had survivors come out on stage. Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, in the beginning it felt like a little like, of course they have to address this. But like at one point, like the president of the Academy came out and like made this whole speech about like why they need to do better and like what, you know, like you could tell like they're trying to like take it seriously, which I thought is a good way. Like, of course it was reactive. Mm-hmm. But I think it's good when you have protest, there should be reaction. That's the whole point of doing protest is, and you know, it's a huge stage. I mean, I was at a party and it was interesting to see how people reacted. I mean, mm-hmm. some people in the room were like, all right, we're still talking about race. And I'm like, great. I'm glad we're talking about race. I'm glad Black is just talking about race. I'm glad, you know, like I'm glad that we're at a point where we're talking about this. There was a weird moment where someone was like, it's weird that people are protesting this because in the past, he was making a joke that in the past there were also other Oscars where there weren't any black nominees, but we had bigger issues back then, like, you know, civil rights and stuff. I'm like, but there's police killings going on like every other week we're hearing. And so like there are bigger issues, but this is connected. So, mm-hmm. you know, I like it when people are talking about race and racism in the U.S. I think it's something we should be talking about on a daily basis.
Oh, no, absolutely. And actually, I had a discussion with a friend of mine on this last night where as people who aren't black, do you ever feel nervous talking?
For the term honky.
Yeah, talking about race, because my friend, she expressed, you know, like she wants to talk about these things, but it's one of those where she feels like she's walking this fine line where, you know, no one ever wants to be labeled a racist.
I'm going to make an improv joke because we were talking about improv a little bit off air.
Yeah.
I will talk about race as long as I don't think about the fact that I'm talking about race.
Yeah.
I feel totally comfortable if I'm talking about, hey, this situation and clearly race played into it and this is what I think of that and this is what I think. But as soon as I start thinking, I am talking to a black man about race, like suddenly I'm a – and of course, I mean, that doesn't mean that everybody – and I wouldn't want to speak for the black experience. Like I just turn into this mess.
Yeah.
But if I'm just being true, it seems very simple.
And that's what we were talking about. Like she was saying, speaking about race with me, she was very nervous and I didn't want her to be. But I was like, that's what we should be doing. Like I'm not going to judge – you know, because you're my friend. I know your heart. I know where you are. But let's talk about it. You have a different point of view from me. We both have different backgrounds, different experiences. And that's what we should be talking about. So, you know, yes, it's, you know, the Oscars and other like Black-ish and these TV shows bring up race. And I can see where people could be like, oh, are we still talking about this? But I'm like, and even that, you know, that point of view, I'm like, I would never condemn somebody who was like, oh, I'm kind of tired of hearing about it. I get it. But let's, you know, talk about that, the fatigue of it. I mean, sometimes, I mean, I get fatigued about it too. But I love that, you know, people can talk about it. You know, even if you do feel nervous, like, let's get that out. And the more we talk about it, the less nervous we'll all be.
So I'm actually getting involved with an organization called Surge, mm-hmm. Showing Up for Racial Justice. And it's a national organization, and I'm helping found a local chapter here in Atlanta. And it's an organization to bring white people into the conversation about fighting for racial justice. Mm-hmm. So the idea is, you know, there are a lot of white people that think that there's a lot of messed up stuff going on in society and don't exactly know how to plug in, maybe don't feel comfortable going to, you know, Black Lives Matter stuff because that, you know, maybe they feel like that's not their place or just not
feel like
sure.
They're identified as part of the problem and so don't know how to enter into
the conversation.
Yeah,
just don't know what to do. It's such a big issue. And it's hard, even if people have great intentions, don't know what they can do to enact change. So so Surge is all about getting white people talking about race and then also taking action in solidarity with organizations led by people of color and using our privilege to help. And it's not just enough to like post things on Facebook, but to like show up. And so the whole idea is like we'll show up at events and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's the thing. Like it has to be a conversation with everybody. Like we can't, like black people, we can't do it alone. Just like when you're fighting for LGBT, you know, they can't do it alone. Women can't do it alone. We all have to do it together. You know, if you look back through the civil rights marches and things like that, there were white people there too. It wasn't just black people. So like it's something that we all together have to participate in and rally around and really just, you know, help each other out, even if it's not your own self-interest. You know, I'm not a woman, but I will march and do whatever I can for women's rights. You know, I'm not gay, but I will do the same thing for LGBT. Right. You know, I'm just, you know, just step outside of yourself and just, you know, if there's a way you can help, you know, come out and help.
And one of the, actually with Surge, one of the values is thinking about how racial justice is in our mutual interests, even as white people, that we do benefit by having racial justice in our society.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because guess what, guys? In the future, we're all going to be a nice caramel color. It's just, it's happening. It's there won't be any more division. We're all just going to be this nice, you know, like coffee mocha brown.
I don't want to be caramel. I want to be mocha.
Mocha, okay.
No, caramel people, I don't like that.
Mocha lives matter, Charlie.
Caramel lives matter. Okay, everybody, I'm going to do a station ID, but I'm going to leave the mics on, so just stay chill.
Okay. Why would you do that?
Why would I do that?
We can talk over it. Oh, I like this. Yeah. Some smooth jazz, maybe? Hey.
You are listening to WREK Atlanta.
Got that head bobbing. Well, since you kept the mics on, I didn't get a chance to talk to everybody to see if we wanted to reassess what's going on. But thanks for tuning in to the North Avenue Lounge. I'm one of the hosts, Amanda Plum. I'm in the studio today with Charlie, Chris, and Shannon. Before we leave the Oscars and movies, anyone have a favorite movie this year you want to tell us about? Because I like great
movies. I totally do. I do. Can I tell you
before?
Wait, I'm in charge, Chris. All right, Charlie, you can go now.
Cop Car with Kevin Bacon. was an amazing small film that was totally surprising, totally weird, not the kind of story that I've ever really seen. And it was just what I remember movies being when I was a kid, and not kid like child, but like 20, 21, like that kind of 90s indie film before everybody just started their movies with a bunch of guys in suits talking about Reservoir Dogs at a breakfast table, you know?
I am writing that down.
Yeah, I loved it.
Cop Car.
Kevin Bacon.
What was it about? I hadn't even heard of it. Okay.
We can't even hear that? We'll spoil it?
No, I'm trying to... there is a certain... I'm like, it is a surprise all the way through, so it's almost like I don't want to set it up. But I will say this. Kevin Bacon plays a villain. He plays a Texas or Arkansas... I think Texas cop who is like the Terminator for this movie.
Okay.
Not that he's not, you know, invulnerable or anything, but just he's the bad guy who is chasing our people.
All right.
Okay. It's really cool.
Shannon?
I think it's a crying shame that more animated films don't get nominated for Best Film. I think that the tokenism that happens around the Best Animated Film is really sad. I would have totally put
You mean when they just throw the Pixar up and say that'll be it?
Yeah. No, that they have their own category. Yeah, that they're
I think that Inside Out could have been the best film of the year easily.
Yeah.
And I also think that Straight Outta Compton should have gotten more love. I would have put several of the actors up, you know, the Ice Cube's son, the guy that played Eazy-E. I thought that that film was amazing. So either of those could have taken more wins.
Oh, man. God, I loved Inside Out. That movie, Pixar, and I go into every Pixar movie like with my arms crossed, like, you're not going to make me cry, Pixar.
Is this after Toy Story 3?
Yeah. Like,
all
I'm just
the
like,
Toy Stories.
But they every single movie, there's a moment where I feel my lips start to quiver of like, no, you're going to make me get emotional again. And oh, that movie is such
a cute
movie.
I feel like I didn't have to go to therapy anymore after seeing Inside Out. I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm sad, and that's okay.
One of the things, because I've watched it multiple times, and at each time, I pick up something new. And the last time I watched it, and I guess I didn't notice this before, was when they flash into the parents' mind. Like, in each each one has an emotion that's in charge. And with the little girl, it's happiness. And then when they flash into the dad's mind, it's anger. Mm-hmm. And when they flash into the mom's mind, it's sadness mm-hmm. that's in charge. And I'm just like, I want to know more about that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. There could be so many spinoffs of Inside Out.
Yeah. It's just the subtext in it was great. It was so great.
Yeah. I have to say that I think I would have gone for Inside Out as well. Although I was pleasantly surprised by both Revenant and Big Short. I did not think I'd like Revenant. I don't think Leo should have won. He hardly had to memorize any lines for that. So, and to me, that's like half of acting is being able to memorize your lines. And I thought Big Short was actually really informative, and I thought it was really humorous the way they explained things. But I think Inside Out would have gotten the Oscar for me.
Every movie you all are talking about is on my Netflix queue for me to watch later because I have children.
I tell you the movie I thought that I loved last year. Any of you guys see Dope?
No.
Any of you guys see? Oh, that movie was so good.
Was it dope?
It was dope. It was dope.
This is starting to sound like an urban film.
Oh, it is, but it's fantastic.
Like a mocha caramel.
Like a mocha. It's a great. It's on Netflix.
Is it
now.
Up for a Black Oscar?
It's a.
Do you have your own Oscars?
It's like the Image
You're
Awards,
separate,
the NAACP Image Awards. No, it was. It's a great movie. It's basically about this. Teenagers, they're growing up in South Central LA, but they really like 90s pop culture.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a really, really good movie. I think one of the best movies I saw last year. I'm surprised that one didn't come up at all.
So, I just don't think people tune in to Hostapalooza to hear us talk about movies. Mm-hmm. They tune in to hear us talk about ourselves.
Okay.
Clearly.
So we're going to play a quick game of two truths and a lie. You're each going to share three facts about yourself. Two of them will be true. One will be a lie. We will try to guess the truths from the lies, and it will be fun. Shannon, kick us off.
Why me? Okay. I won an international karaoke competition. I also won a statewide debate competition, and I have an alter ego known as Miss Destiny.
Ooh.
I know about one of those.
Are we doing this collectively?
No, I won't help. I won't add. But I do want to know, when you say international karaoke, is this like U.S. and Canada?
I mean international.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
What do you guys think? Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
I vote that the karaoke is a lie.
I'm going to go with karaoke, too.
I'll go for statewide storytelling, because I know about your alter ego.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was a statewide drama competition. Everybody knows that I cannot debate because I would cry. And nice. The international karaoke competition was on an international cruise ship, which I totally killed it with my well-known ability to kill anything in karaoke when it comes to singing I Hate Myself for Loving You by Joan Jett.
I have seen Shannon at Southern Comfort, and I have no doubt that she could win an international karaoke competition. All right, let's learn about you, Charlie.
I have never broken a bone. I have never been to Paris, and I was a Boy Scout.
I definitely believe he was a Boy Scout.
I think he's broken a bone. I mean, he seems reckless. Not now, like, because he's old and a dad, but, like, before.
You figure there must have been recklessness at some point.
You say you've never been a Boy Scout?
No, I have never broken a bone. I have never been to Paris, and I was a Boy Scout. Okay.
It's interesting that there's two negatives and one positive.
I'm going to go with the Boy Scout. I'm not, I don't know. You've got some edge to you.
Can't you see him wearing shorts?
Amanda. What does that mean?
I can see being a troop leader.
I think
it's, I'm going to go for Paris.
Okay. All right. I'm going to get on Amanda's team and say that you have been to Paris.
I have been to Paris.
Yes.
Okay.
I have never broken a bone.
Okay.
And I was a Boy Scout.
You were a Boy Scout.
So
was I. I got kicked out of my Boy Scout troop.
What did you do?
Are you really gay?
No. Yes.
I was
about to say a bad joke, but I can't say on the air. No, I was a little bit of a disciplinary problem.
I'm so not surprised to hear that.
Were you an Eagle Scout, Charlie?
I never made it to Eagle. I got to whatever the one two back is.
Star.
Yeah.
Star. Yep, that's what I got to.
I think Eagle Scouts are hot.
I was a patrol leader.
What does that mean?
No, that I wasn't an Eagle Scout.
Oh. No. I did safety patrol in elementary school. Is that similar?
Here's a funny gay joke. I was the
really?
I was the patrol leader for the Bear Patrol.
Oh, nice. You would make a cute bear.
And I'm a very hairy guy.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yay!
All right, that's Chris, great. What do you have for us?
All right. Here's mine. I have never eaten at a Red Lobster. I once won $500 playing blackjack. And I get to celebrate Father's Day this year.
What?
He could be lying to you.
Okay, I know, but that would be amazing if it was true. I hope that one's true.
But also, you can celebrate Father's Day and not be a father.
Yeah.
You can celebrate a father.
But that's not what he means. Okay, so with this Red Lobster thing,
yeah.
Given what I know about black culture and Beyonce, I think that might not be that might not be saying very much about your skills if no one's ever taken you to a Red Lobster. So I hope for your wife's sake that you have been to Red Lobster.
Okay, all right.
I think you never won blackjack.
Okay, all right.
And I am interested in hearing about the Father's Day thing after we're done here.
Do you think he's...
Okay, Shannon?
I don't know. I can't stop thinking about the fact that you might be about to be a dad.
He's playing you, Shannon.
Yeah, he knows you.
He knows how to play the game, Turner.
Oh, I abstain from this one.
You abstain? Pick one.
I think you have eaten at Red Lobster.
Okay. Well, I have never eaten at a Red Lobster.
Oh.
And I've never won $500 playing blackjack. So... Yep, I'm going to be a dad this year.
Yay! Yeah. Oh, my God, I'm going to start crying.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
When's the due date?
September 15th.
Holy cow.
That's a long ways away. Yeah. You're announcing early.
Actually, no, it's not that long.
It's not long at all.
I'm sorry, do you really get to celebrate Father's Day in May if you don't have the baby doesn't come till September?
Yeah,
Father's Day's in June.
Yeah, that's right.
June, whatever.
See, no one ever knows when Father's Day is.
Because you broke 12 weeks.
Right? Yep.
Yeah, so it's on, Amanda. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I've already heard the heartbeat and got
the
sonogram.
Are you a dad now?
Oh yeah. It's coming. It's coming. Wow. It's on the way.
Are you gonna name her Amanda?
I don't know. We've got a list of names that we're like, okay, well, you gotta pick one.
So I know what a at least one co-host show or even a month can be.
Charlie giving baby advice?
No, I would never give advice. But baby stories, because like, we are so going to talk about what baby poop looks like.
That's the thing that's going to happen. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
But still call in or write in and tell us your theme
absolutely,
idea.
Absolutely.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So like we each have a baby on as a guest? Mm-hmm. Is that what we're doing?
However you want to do it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I can bring the kid in.
So you were you just waiting for an opening, or was this you decided to go with it?
That was a good opening.
I was like, oh, here's a perfect opening to like throw that announcement in there.
Man alive.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, even though she's the host of this quarter, we need to not forget Amanda's two truths and a lie.
But I don't want to go after that. I mean, I can tell you, how about I add one that I'm going to be a mom by Mother's Day? Will that be fun? That would be the lie. All right, so Shannon can't play because she actually gave me most of mine. Okay. One, I have saved a baby's life. Two, I've never seen a Star Wars movie. Or three, I was a labor organizer.
You were a labor organizer. And I think it's... Oh, gosh. I don't know if it's more likely to have saved a baby's life or not seen a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
I thought I had it locked in and then it went. So someone else do a guess.
I'm going to guess you have seen a Star Wars movie. You had to have at least one. At least one at some point.
So which is the
I think
lie.
You can get locked into having not seen Star Wars and then you're like, I'm not seeing that Star Wars and I've not never seen a Star Wars.
What's your identity? Like, I'm that girl. Mm-hmm.
I hate to say, but I think you did not save a baby's life and that you've never seen Star Wars.
What do you think?
I think you have seen Star Wars.
So you think I have not been a labor union or have not saved a baby's life?
No, I think you've saved a baby's life and you've been a labor union organizer, but you have... The lie is that you've never seen a Star Wars movie.
Chris is correct.
Yeah!
In fact, not only did I have I seen Star Wars, I watched them all before Force Awakens, and I
oh god,
wrote
I knew that
a primer I put on YouTube.
Yes, you did
a crib like version of all.
I'm an idiot.
How long did it take you? I mean, did you do that all in one weekend?
No, I watched them over like a week and a half, and then I made the primers. I actually made them for my niece who really wanted to go see Force Awakens but hadn't watched all the others. But she's a huge R2-D2 fan. She already knew she was going to love BB-8, so I was like, I'm going to help her out. So I did a PowerPoint presentation, and then I posted on Facebook that I was doing that, and people were like, send it to me. And my sister was like, you should just make a YouTube video. So I did, and I shared that with folks.
Very cool. Yeah. I have a friend who's he's never seen a Godfather movie, and at this point he's not going to see one because it's his identity.
Wait, I have all three in my house right now. Let's like trick him to come over to my house and force him to watch.
We can't. He's also never eaten a bagel, and he's also doing the same thing where he's like now he won't do it just because he's got this record for
he's
so
like
long.
Missing out on life.
Your friend has serious problems.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. Clearly.
Hey, anyone want
to
know how I saved a baby's life?
I was about to hit
When I was in high school, a good friend of mine died of leukemia. And when I was in college, I had an opportunity to sign up for a bone marrow drive. And I did because she was never well enough to get a bone marrow transplant. But that was the one thing that could have saved her life. And then after college, I moved down here and I got a call that I was a potential match for a baby. He was a newborn baby. He had been born without immune system. So basically he had the bubble boy syndrome. Also, it's called SCID, severe combined immune deficiency. And I went through some tests and I was the best match. And so I donated to him. And I got a call from him last month. He's 16. He was calling to tell me he got his driver's license.
Wow.
So it's That's pretty awesome. Cool. I visited the family probably like 4 or 5 years ago. I went up and saw them. I'm hoping I can see them again this year. But it was really cool. He was, you know, just a few months old when I did the transplant and did not have a good, you know, life expectancy at that point. Or if he did survive, it would be like, you know, this whole, I mean, he didn't have an immune system. So that's why you have like the whole bubble boy kind of thing. Like,
you could totally follow up Chris's announcement
with
that story.
Yeah. You thought, like, I did the, having a kid is easy. No. You saved one's life.
Well, the funny thing is I just started a new job in Atlanta when I found out and my boss had just had her first baby and like, I was, you know, she was like breastfeeding in the office. And when I told her that I need to take time off for this, she would start bawling. Yeah. She had just had a child. So she was take as much time
as you
want.
You can't talk about anything like that.
Oh yeah.
Right after it happens. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I've noticed I'm super sensitive to kids' stories now.
Yeah. Oh, just wait till you go back to movies you thought were really cool, you know, when you were younger, and then you're like, oh my, that kid is what are they doing? This, I can't watch this.
Yeah.
All right, I think we should go into our last break and then come back and talk some more.
Check out the Underground Recordings every Tuesday at 7 right here on 91.1 FM. Play lots of classic live at Rec. And this performance, which came from Personality Crisis back in 1994, Driving and Crying dropped through. So you never know what you're going to get on the Underground Recordings, but listen in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. And check out that classic Rec history right here on 91.1 FM, WREK Atlanta.
Where's our music?
I'm just zoning it in today. Overwhelmed by the baby announcements.
Oh man, you're overwhelmed. I had my official first anxiety attack like three nights
official,
ago.
Is that official first?
Official. Oh man, it was.
And you haven't even lost any sleep yet. Confusing your words.
It was one of those days. It was the day that we got the sonogram and heard the heartbeat. And then the rest of the day I was really busy. And then I went to bed. And then at 4 o'clock in the morning, just like sat bolt upright in bed and started freaking out.
That's a good reaction. That means you're taking it serious.
Yeah. My wife was like, "Are you okay? What? Are you having a heart attack?" I'm like, no, just freaking out.
She was thinking, "You cannot leave me for any reason now."
Oh no.
She's okay.
Like, I'm stuck here.
Charlie, what are you doing tomorrow night?
We're doing the spring activities preview, aren't we?
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, I am hosting at Eddie's Attic, Georgia Blood and Southern Love, also known as Lost in the Stacks Live, which will be a live stage show version of my radio show, Lost in the Stacks, which is the one and only Research Library rock and roll radio show.
In the world?
It is the one and only Research Library rock and roll radio show. There are other library radio shows. There are even other music shows that are through libraries. But we're the only one that is a Research Library show that mixes rock music into it. Chickens and Pigs is our band. And we've got Hollis Gillespie, Brian Panowich, and Monica Miller. Dr. Monica Miller, that's an in-joke for my friends. And 7:30.
All right.
Are there still tickets available?
There are still tickets available. Less than I was worried about being available, but there are still.
You mean fewer?
I do mean fewer. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mom.
Fewer, just for people who are listening, fewer is when it's a thing that you could count, like the number of seats or the number of tickets or something you can actually count versus
Amanda
something
is
like
marking
water.
Down in a pad things that have happened today that she needed to correct.
No, that's like my one thing is fewer and less. It's like the one thing.
I totally agree with you.
You and your, I don't even care that much. I know people get really... I mean, I just understand people have typos, but fewer and less, I think people just don't understand.
Are you okay with I could care less?
Yeah, as compared to I could care fewer. No, I'm just kidding. I understand. I could care more.
What have you got coming up that you want to tell people about?
Well, I mentioned earlier that I'm involved with Pachakacha, also known as Pechakucha. It is a Japanese style of presentation. It came out of a Japanese architecture firm, and the style is that you have 20 slides, and each slide is up for 20 seconds each, and people can talk about any topic they want. And there are these Pechakucha nights all around the world where people give presentations, and we just had one about a week and a half ago, and our next one is May 22nd. But for example, the one we just had most recently, we had someone talk about mindful play, attachment theory, Homestead Atlanta. One woman was talking about, she's a visual and performing artist, and she's talking about how she got her inspiration from her 12-year-old sister. That was a beautiful story. We had a Jeopardy contestant telling us what it's like behind the scenes in Jeopardy, all sorts of things. And like Shannon's done one about her 40 days leading up to her 40th birthday, as well as she's done one about online dating, and I did one about giving bone marrow. So it's all sorts of topics. The next one will be May 22nd, and right now we're looking for folks to submit proposals. And ooh. So we're reviewing proposals on an ongoing basis.
Do they go to a website to submit a proposal?
I think it's Pechakucha Atlanta at gmail.com is our email, and then also on Facebook or the internets, just Pechakucha, which is like Pechakucha. Yeah.
So. Well done.
Was this the same one that it was done like right before a Carapace show a few months back? Okay.
Yeah. Well, we were re-recording one for the website.
Okay. All right. Cool.
So snippet. Yeah.
Yeah.
What have you got coming up before your life changes?
Well,
before your life ends.
Yeah.
And you don't do anything fun.
Well, right now I am currently in our scripted production over at Dad's Garage called Women of the Year, and it's a sketch show written by all the female members of our company. And it runs the next two weekends, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, through March 12th, I believe. So that is what I have going on over at the theater for right now. Yes.
How come an improv theater does sketch comedy?
Well, we do, in addition to improv, we also do a lot of scripted shows that are all written, directed, and produced by the members of the company.
And there's no improv in
this? Yeah, there's
like, can I yell at suggestions in the middle of the play?
No, not in the play. But
not if you want to stay.
Yeah. So it's it runs 8 o'clock Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then we have our improv shows at 10:30. And then after the run of the production that ends on March 12th, then we'll go back to 8 o'clock improv shows until the next scripted show.
I will say I've been to the new theater. I don't know if you guys have been yet, but they have pizza.
Oh, yeah.
From Amaza, that's like...
Yeah.
Sounds amazing.
Oh, yeah. If you... Yeah.
How long have you been in the new space?
We moved in... New Year's Eve was our opening. And yeah, we're right next door to Amaza Pizza. And you can order from our bar, the pizza from the bar. And if you order it at the beginning of the show, it will be delivered by intermission. And if you order at intermission, it'll be delivered by the end of the show. And we've got a full bar. Yeah, it's fun. We've got a great new home now. So yeah, it's fun. That's what I got going on. And then counting the days till September.
I bet. Marking them off on your calendar.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on with you, Shannon?
I'm looking forward to a number of spring activities, some of which are just things that I'm going to get out and about and do, and some of which are me doing stuff. ATL Collective, which is a great organization that has been putting together live reenactment of albums, like significant albums from the past. So I've gone to see Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life. They've done Michael Jackson's Thriller, Joni Mitchell's Blue. They are getting ready to very appropriately on St. Patrick's Day do Joshua Tree at Eddie's Attic. So looking forward to that. There's a Buford Highway group getting ready to do Bikes and Bites, where you can meet up and go eat delicious Buford Highway food of all ethnicities on April 2nd. This is really interesting. They were already planning to show Labyrinth at the Center for Puppetry Arts before David Bowie passed away.
Yeah.
And now that event has just blown up with all kinds of interest. So they've added more showings, I think more weekends even. And now there's like more than 1,000 people who are saying that they're going to go. So I'm really looking forward to that, of course. And Atlanta Streets Alive is kicking off their season. First one is going to happen over on Ralph David Abernathy on April 17th. Personally, I'm going to be in a group of lady storytellers who are performing at the Fringe Festival this year. Atlanta
awesome.
Fringe.
Congratulations.
We're putting together a show called Moxie. And... we are all going to be bringing forth our stories about our moments of showing moxie.
Do men have moxie, or is that just us women?
Men have moxie.
Yeah, you do?
Definitely mm-hmm. have moxie.
It is a term that has become slightly gendered, though, I think.
Just because of the infantilization of women.
Yeah, very good.
Oh, I just asked because you guys never showed much moxie.
Oh, what about back when I wore shorts, Amanda, before you knew me?
Maybe. Oh, moxie. I didn't know you back then. I actually have something else coming up this spring.
Yeah.
In April, I will not be here. I'm going to Japan and China.
Awesome. That's right.
So I'm going to give up my show in April and check out a whole new...
So yes. I don't know why we're talking about anything that's going on in spring, because clearly the social calendar will be black for that entire month.
Well, I'm really hoping to. Like, I actually don't like hearing about things that are happening in Atlanta in April. I would prefer to think that Atlanta will just stop while I'm gone.
Don't you run things. I mean, all the stuff that you make happen will stop, and then you'll come back.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. But in reality, things will go on without me, and I'll feel like I'm missing things. But hopefully I'll have so many new exciting experiences that I won't.
Oh, yeah. Are you going for business or pleasure?
Pleasure.
Awesome. Awesome. Where? What's your itinerary? Where are you going?
So we're going to start in Osaka and go to Kyoto, mm-hmm. And then down to Hiroshima, and then spend some time in Tokyo, and then go to fly over to Beijing, go to Cheyenne, and in Shanghai, and I'm not sure what we're doing in between there. We're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I've done that trip.
Really?
It's fun.
We need to talk.
Yeah, my brother used to live in Japan. He used to live in Hirakata, which is in between Osaka and Kyoto.
Okay.
So we went to those two, also went to Tokyo, and now he lives in Hong Kong. So
we need to talk.
Yeah, next trip to China. Yeah,
yeah. It's when we put it on Facebook. It's amazing to see how many people have been or know someone
connection.
That lives there. Yeah, so it's really great to network.
Are you going to blog or something so that people can follow your adventures?
No, I don't.
You
think
should.
So. I'm going to eat everything.
What about postcards? You're going to have a stash of postcards to send back?
My main priority, as I said, is going to be eating. Yeah. I plan to come back much heavier than I am now. Just let you know because I'm going to eat everything.
Oh, there's some great food. Oddly enough. Best Indian food I've ever had it in Japan.
Nice.
Which is like, I was like, it was fantastic.
Just like having your best Italian food in New York.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We are coming in for a landing on this show, and I see a note here. It says whack-a-mole versus skee-ball.
Yeah, I put this down on our script because I can't possibly answer this question again one more time in a differently creative way. But I thought it would be interesting to interview Amanda about the fact that she's been asking people on all of her shows about whack-a-mole versus skee-ball. And who has answered that in a way that was surprising to you, or what were your favorite answers to that?
I think when my first year, I interviewed the folks from Far East Dogs. They created their own hot dogs that were inspired by different places in Asia. And one of the guys like had no clue what this was. Like, he had not heard of either of them. And a lot of people, I like have to like remind them of the games and then they remember them, but he had no clue. But we decided he was much more of a Dance Dance Revolution kind of guy.
Nice.
Like, that was his. But I'm curious, like, so the whole point of the whack-a-mole versus skee-ball is that there's two types of people in the world, whack-a-mole and skee-ball. I'm curious how else we could divide up in the world. What are some of the either-ors that you guys see?
Beatles versus the Stones.
Oh, Beatles.
Oh, Michael Jackson versus Prince.
Wait, let's do it. Wait, let's say Beatles versus... It's okay.
Rolling Stones.
Beatles.
Michael Jackson
no,
versus
no,
Prince.
No. You're answering Beatles versus Stones.
Oh, Beatles versus Stones. Stones.
I actually answer this question on my online dating profile, and I say it's like saying air versus water. You can't live without either for very long.
Mm. All right, so now we'll do Michael Jackson versus Prince.
Yeah, Michael Jackson versus Prince. What do you think?
Prince.
Oh, shit. You don't know how to play this game.
I am a Gemini rising, which means that I find it very hard to make these kinds of choices because they're both so great.
They are.
Why don't you toss us a division?
What do you mean?
A pairing that you could could actually divide.
Like Michael Jackson versus Prince or Beatles versus like, this is the game we're playing.
Yeah, I know.
Can you tell us why in the last 30 seconds of the segment, why it is that you can't...
Make a choice?
You can't do this one. Yeah.
I just feel the world is a very complicated place. And, I mean, in the same way that we have to choose between conservative and Republican or...
You're having problems
with
that
decision. Black versus white, you know. But seriously, I mean, it's a very divisive world we live in. And by trying to say that one thing or the other is the right thing, we don't see, you know, the gray areas.
I see where you're coming from. ZZ Top or Limp Bizkit?
I don't know either of those.
All right, I've got a better question. Yeah. Who are you voting for tomorrow in the primaries?
I don't vote in primaries.
What?
I've never voted in a primary.
Why not?
Because I don't feel like my voice matters in that place.
Is this like a setup? Is this a sketch that you all are doing?
No.
For voting rights?
Yeah. Because
this sounds like the beginning of a after school special or some kind of, you know, your
vote matters. Are you voting tomorrow?
No.
Chris, are you voting tomorrow?
No.
What?
Who are you voting for, Amanda?
I'm going to go vote for Sanders.
I actually have not decided between Clinton and Sanders. I am a Democrat, mostly. I haven't decided between Clinton and Sanders. And I am actually... not interested at all in which one. I am interested in either one and not whomever the other team has. That's where I'm at.
I have to say that I'm, not going to be excited about Clinton. So I feel like, I mean, I don't think Sanders is going to win in Georgia, but I'm still going to vote because that's what I'd like to see. I also voted for McKinney over Obama in his first election, so, you know.
Okay, well, this one's ending with a whimper.
I go for the political stand, I guess.
You have been listening to the North Avenue Lounge. We're sorry for that last bit.
And no, we're not. Oh, I know.
You can hear
mashed potatoes versus... mac and cheese at Thanksgiving dinner.
Mac and cheese.
What is wrong with you? Those are both awesome foods.
Exactly.
We've gone over.
You can hear the show again at northavenuelounge.com, and you can also hear a lot of the shows that we've referenced, and we hope to hear from you about our theme month suggestions. This is North Avenue Lounge and WRIK. Bye.
Bye. Have a great day.